Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 36 degrees over at the Rocky Gutierrez Airport with some icing conditions on Sitka's streets this morning. Today is Tuesday, November 8th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Today is Election Day for citizens of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Six people, including three incumbents, are running for election to the council, which represents about 4,000 tribal citizens. Betty Jo Moore, Ben Miasato, Wade Martin, and Lillian Feldpouch are running as new candidates. Feldpouch is running as a write-in. Seeking re-election are council members Dale Williams, Archie Nielsen, and Mike Baines. Baines was appointed to fill a vacancy left by the ouster of George Paul last year and must run to keep the seat. He had served a term on the council prior to Paul's removal. Polling hours are from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. today. Voting takes place at CMART and at the Sheetkaquan Nakahiti Community House. The era of large-scale logging might be gone from northern southeast Alaska, but across the region, people are turning to smaller timber sales to earn a living. Officials hope the model can support local economies in the region. And for one family in Tenneke Springs, the effort has paid off. KCAW's Ed Ronco has this profile.
Gordon Chu runs a small logging operation in Corner Bay, just across the inlet from Tenneke Springs, and it keeps him pretty busy. So busy, in fact, that when I arrive in Tenneke Springs on a Monday morning, Chu says he doesn't have time to stop for an interview, but that I can borrow his adult son's bicycle and talk to him as we ride down to the harbor together. In the interest of my own safety, I wait until we get to his boat before I reach for the microphones.
Gordon, how would you describe your work, what you do?
Well, it's pretty varied. We have to do a little bit of everything between all the boating and barging and lumber milling and logging and construction and restoration around town.
Chu runs the Tenneke Logging Company, and he's part of the changing face of the lumber industry. In this part of southeast Alaska, large-scale logging doesn't exist anymore, but smaller, selective cuts, like the 100,000 or so board feet each year that Chu takes from the Tongass, are becoming more popular. Chu's company logs, but it also builds. He uses the timber taken from Corner Bay on projects in Tenneke Springs. As we leave the harbor, he opens up the throttle and heads to the fuel dock. There's a 55-gallon drum in the back of the boat.
I've got a barrel here I'd like to fill with number two. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll be right up.
The fuel will go over to Corner Bay to feed the company's truck, but not far from where we're tied up is the Snyder Mercantile, a general store dating back to 1899. Chu and his team are working to restore the old building along with its adjacent property using wood that they've harvested and milled. Chu says that part of the business is essential.
The foundation under that warehouse there, those are all hemlock pilings. So we drag a lot of them over here as pilings. Also under the store, the old part of the store, is all restored with yellow cedar pilings. I'm not sure if we could manage it on our timber sales alone. The fact that we get to work with the timber as builders is what makes it lucrative for us. It's not selling the timber.
His operation is definitely unique in our Ranger District.
Zia Brukaya works for the Sitka Conservation Society.
Throughout southeast Alaska, there are lots of small mills that are operating, to different degrees. Some of them, I think, are doing construction as well as milling, like Gordon is. Some of them are just doing milling, putting together cabin kits and things, but they're all working at that smaller scale of, you know, a few hundred thousand board feet per year.
The Conservation Society and other environmental groups in Southeast have taken an interest in operations like Chu's because they say they're smart, sustainable ways to use the Tongass. It was never logging outright that was the problem, Brukaya says. It was the scale of what happened in years past.
We're now working and operating at a scale that is appropriate for the community, and it's needed in the community.
Brukaya says it's also an opportunity to build up the local economy for the benefit of local residents, a way to keep people living in Southeast, especially in small, remote communities where the loss of even a family or two can be felt throughout town. And few are more aware of that than Chris Budke, a forestry technician in the U.S. Forest Service's Hoona office.
Like every time I turn around, I read something in the paper, or I see a reason, or I look at people, and I see lots of reasons for people to be leaving Southeast Alaska.
He lists off the reasons. It's a harsh environment, goods and services are expensive, and more. But he says offering opportunities to run small businesses using Tongass resources might help keep people around.
If we can work with local people that are using local products and meet the objective of everybody, which is really difficult, by the way, and provide a product for those people that they can turn around and make a living off of, that, to me, that gives you reasons to be here.
And giving people reasons to be here can have big implications for Southeast, which is hemorrhaging population.
This is incredibly important for people to be working. It's incredibly important for us to be using our natural resources. It's incredibly important to people understand that we can use it responsibly. So we can meet the objectives of a lot of things here and give people a reason to stay in Southeast.
Gordon Chu and his family are examples of that. They saw Alaska during a trip in 1995 and loved it so much that they went back south and made plans to move up. They returned in 99 and have been here since. Back in Tenneke Springs, Chu's 55-gallon drum is nearly full of number 2 diesel. He taps off the nozzle.
Thank you,
Eve. All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
And as it's being hoisted back onto the fuel dock, he says there's a future in the kind of small-scale logging he does, not only for places like Tenneke Springs, but for the entire region. For now, though, it's back to work. There's a truck waiting in Corner Bay and a 55-gallon drum of fuel that has Chu's boat riding a little low in the water.
I better go like hell or else I'm going to sink.
All right, I'll let you go.
Reporting from Tenneke Springs, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can see a photo of Gordon Chu and his skiff at our website, kcaw.org. Ketchikan City Council member Jack Shea tendered his resignation yesterday after being arrested Friday night on 10 counts of possession of child pornography. Shea is the former mayor of both the Ketchikan Gateway Borough and the city of Ketchikan. He also served as the former head of the State Division of Employment Security and is a past president of the Alaska Municipal League. KRBD's Deanna Garrison has more.
A worker at a computer repair shop contacted Ketchikan police Friday afternoon about images reportedly found on Jack Shea's computer. Deputy Police Chief Josh Dossett.
Mr. Shea had brought in his computer to have some work on it. It was having problems printing. The tech put the printer and the computer together and turned them on, and when they were hooked up and turned on, the printer began printing out pictures that were already queued in the computer. Several of those pictures were of child pornography.
Dossett says police officers subsequently obtained a warrant allowing them to search Shea's computer and residence. He says the search took place Friday evening.
At this point, we're still sorting through it. We have found additional pictures at the residence that appear to be of prepubescent kids in sexual acts. Child pornography can be stored on multiple different media at this point. I mean, they can be videos, they can be on computer, they can be printed out. At this point, we've seized quite a few items that still have to be searched. I have a detective and two officers working this case full-time. They're basically working their way through the different media.
Dossett says printed child pornographic images were found on top of a printer in the home office at Shea's residence. Charging documents filed in court describe 10 photos of children as young as toddlers engaged in a variety of sexual acts. 80-year-old Shea was arrested at his home at around 10:30 Friday night. He was arraigned in Ketchikan Superior Court Saturday morning. Shea pled not guilty and was released on $30,000 bail. City Mayor Lou Williams III says Shea resigned from the Ketchikan City Council Monday morning.
I called Jack this morning. He informed me that due to the circumstances, he thinks it's best to resign from the council. I asked him if he was going to send in a resignation letter, and he said no. He just had me inform the city staff, clerk, and manager that he has resigned in the council, and that has been done.
Williams says it will be up to the Ketchikan City Council to appoint a replacement. He expects the city to begin advertising for council member applicants soon. When contacted on Monday, Shea declined to comment for this story. Williams says Shea was not forced to resign.
If you're convicted, you'd have to step down, but right now he didn't have to, but I imagine he wants to deal with the circumstances, and it's more or less of a distraction.
William says he was shocked by the child pornography charges.
It's a surprise for everybody. I told him I'd be thinking of him, I'd be praying for him, and I hope everything works out.
Shea is one of, if not the most well-known figures in Ketchikan. He has been steeped in Ketchikan's political establishment, serving as mayor of both the city and borough, as well as serving on the borough assembly, school board, and city council. He was one of the founders of First City Players and was named the Grand Marshal of the community's 4th of July parade in 2003. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
A Coast Guard Air Station Sitka helicopter crew medevaced a gunshot victim from Hawk Inlet on Admiralty Island on Sunday. A hunting party notified the Coast Guard at about 9 a.m. Sunday via VHF radio that a 25-year-old man had suffered a gunshot wound to his back. He and the hunting party were on the northwest side of Admiralty Island. The helicopter crew was airborne at the time. They heard the call and self-diverted to the area. Once on scene, the crew safely transported 25-year-old Jason Lindley to Juneau Emergency Medical Personnel about 10:10 a.m. He was taken to Bartlett Regional Hospital for initial treatment and then medevaced to Harborview in Seattle for additional care. According to state troopers, Lindley was accidentally shot with a large-caliber rifle by a member of his hunting party who mistook him for a deer. Although he suffered significant internal injuries, they are not considered life-threatening. The Coast Guard says good communication made the difference in the rescue. The hunting party had a means of communication, so we were able to get help out there quickly, said Lieutenant Eddie Michno, District 17 Command Duty Officer. In an area like Alaska where cell phones can't be relied upon, having a secondary means of communication can make a huge difference. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for scattered rain showers this morning, then rain in the afternoon, highs around 43. Southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, rain, lows around 35 with southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, highs around 43, northeast winds 10 miles per hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.